Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
95.7 The Game, live and local. Now, it's Zachariah and the Guru.
Bay Area! Welcome to the program.
You now you're trolling. You're trolling Raider Nation.
I got cheated out of my first opener, all right? And now I'm giving you the opener now. We got 1 hour in the books. That means two more to go. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, 95.7 The Game. Coming up at 7:15, more of your phone calls. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. We are Twitter friendly. He is at Triple D Guru, DDDGURU. I am at Zach Sports, ZAK Sports. Before I get to the text line and before we get to JD, our very own super reporter, John Dickinson, who was at O.co covering the game fantastically, as he always does, and send us fantastic audio that we always use. You know how much I hate doing this, but I got to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, Bay Area, I was wrong. I was wrong, all right? I was absolutely...
And Guru was right.
Flat out wrong, and Guru was right. I didn't want to add that in there. You made me add that in there, as is per usual for you. That first championship for the Celtics in 1980, which I thought was against the Lakers with the hook shot, when Magic was playing the five... That was not his first one. In fact, his first two were against the Sixers. And then later in his career is when he hit the hook shot to win it, and they stole the ball.
I'm proud of you.
I'm wrong. What?
No, I was saying let's get to JD.
All right. Well, we'll get to JD in a second. Real quick, from the 707, that swimming analogy was dumb, Zach. You're trying to compare someone who doesn't know how to swim with people who have played football before. Okay, 707, you're dumb. Now that I've admitted that I was wrong, now I'm getting back on my high horse. And what I'm telling you is the knowing how to swim is knowing how to win, not knowing how to play football. Obviously, these guys know how to play football. There's a difference between knowing how to play football and knowing how to win. But let's talk to John Dickinson about that now. He is our super reporter. You can follow him on Twitter, at JD John Dickinson. He was covering the Raiders game. JD, thank you for joining us. Guru and I both felt like this was a must-win. I mean, I don't know many people that didn't think that it was a must-win for this team. What was the mood of the locker room, and what kind of feels like postseason hopes are kind of dashed at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think guys, they sort of treated it as this was the beginning of the playoff run, if there was going to be a playoff run, get back to 500 and then, you know, sort of go from there. I mean, they were in a position where if they could have got the win today, and the Steelers would have lost to the Colts and that game's ongoing, that they, you know, they could have been right there. They would have actually held the sixth spot. So really today's game is indicative of their season. It's right there in front of them, but they can't finish it.
JD, I echo those sentiments. Zach and I have been going back and forth with that. But let me ask you where you come out. Are you okay with the trend to where they can't close out because the team is just young? Or do you feel like me and, you know, a lot of Raider Nation, I'm a little disappointed in everybody because this team had the playoffs right in front of them. I know that ship has not all the way sailed, but you can't be happy and just say after every close loss, oh, these are just growing pains. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think there's sort of this game to me, and when you go through some of the other games, and they've won some close games late as well, as the ones they've lost. But I think, you know, this game and this season, you can really see where this year, 2015, is the true transition year because you see all the flashes. You know, we talked about it in 2012 when, you know, Al Davis was no longer around and Dennis Allen was the coach, and then that didn't quite work out for the Raiders and they had awful seasons. But this year is the real year where you can see both what they could become and also how far they still have left to go. And you still see a lot of the quote-unquote same old Raiders at times, but there's enough new pieces and new blood to where I still think, you know, as long as this team remains competitive throughout the final four games of the season and wins one, maybe two more, I do think it is still a positive, and I do think at times a team needs to go through that full season where there's legitimate enough talent on the field. It's not just losing games, but you can see where the Raiders have the talent on the field to be able to win them. You just have to go through the process, so to speak. And so, no, I actually think the Raiders are going through the process. Now, if this is happening again next year, then I think the conversation's a little bit different. But I also think you can see that separation 100% between the last 3 years and where this team hopes to go from here.
Zachariah, Daryl the Guru Johnson, 95.7 The Game, joined by our very own super reporter, J.D. John Dickinson. J.D., I know you weren't able to cover the Niners game, so I hope I'm not throwing stuff at you that you're not ready for. But
no, I was watching it, but go ahead.
Okay, fair enough. Basically, you know, the Niners won a very thrilling game over in Chicago, OT. Blaine Gabbert had not only a 44-yard run to tie it, but also a 71-yard pass to Torrey Smith. I guess my question to you at this point, if you're a fan of the Niners, and I know you're not, you are a media member and you're not biased in that sense, but if you're a Niner fan, were you almost rooting against them? Because I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, when I finally start rooting against the Niners is when they actually start winning. At what point do you start rooting against your team for a better draft pick?
Well, you know what? It's not even the draft pick to me, and I can see where 49er fans that would think that would be, you know, where they'd be coming from. It's not even the draft pick to me. It's the fact that the end of one season, while it seems like a positive, and getting a win seems like a positive, but it almost turns into a negative and sets the next season up for failure. When you think as a franchise, you know, you're going to have to go out and do a hard target search on finding a quarterback, and you think you may not have the head coach that you want, and Jim Tomsula is nowhere near the coach that Jim Harbaugh was. When you get a couple of wins and the team remains competitive, or Blaine Gabbert looks okay, it almost, instead of making clean breaks from things that probably aren't going to be the answer, you start to wonder whether or not you want to continue to give, you know, those people in those positions opportunities. So yeah. I think, you know, the fact that Blaine Gabbert's played okay probably isn't going to wind up being a good thing for the Niners, because they're probably going to bring him back next year as the starting quarterback.
That's a great point.
It's probably not going to work out too well. Jim Tomsula, if the Niners, let's say, win another game or stay competitive, they're going to be more apt to bring him back for another year. And then we're going to be sitting there probably in October next year when the team is struggling, you know, barring a major infusion of talent, and you're going to go, wow, now the Niners are going to have to still look at who their quarterback is and who their head coach is, you know, even heading into next season. So then all of a sudden you're getting to the point where it's 2017 before. So yeah. It's one of those things where positives almost turn into negatives to a certain extent, because organizations start to feel that they are farther along in fixing the problems than they really are.
And not even about the draft pick. I'm with you.
Yeah, they almost get fooled into making decisions that just don't make sense. You end up hamstrung, you know, for the coming years.
JD, I love talking hoop with you. So the Warriors got number 22 today.
I was watching that too.
Oh my gosh! Just tell me if I'm being overzealous. I think if I had some disposable income, I would put all of it on the Warriors breaking this streak. Am I getting too carried away to think that there's no team
Indiana
that's
going to
knock this Warrior team
Indiana.
Off of not, breaking this record Christmas Day or the day after Christmas against Cleveland? Would you tell me to slow down?
Well, no. I mean, I think the closer they get, the more apt they are to
that,
do it.
There we go.
Perfectly honest. Because I think it starts to take on a life of its own. And we saw this, going back to the 15-game streak, you know, tying the 15-game streak to start a season, breaking that streak. When it got to where they were within about three, I think it was the Clippers game, and I can't remember if that was win 12 or 13 to get up to 15, but regardless, when they came back and won the Clippers game when it looked like they were going to lose that game, they were close enough to start acknowledging the streak. And then they were really going after it. And then they almost it was almost like they were chasing a ring in a sense. You know, they didn't want to lose, or they had to win to avoid elimination. So I think they're playing with that type of intensity and effort to begin with. But the closer they get, I think the more they're going to be just hell-bent on absolutely doing it. I do think they're going to be challenged this week. I didn't think today would be the day, obviously. I mean, Brooklyn, that wasn't going to happen again when they played really well here at Oracle. You know, I actually thought Toronto gave them a better run than I figured they would have. But I think the Indiana game, and I actually think the Boston game is one. Boston plays hard. You know, they don't overwhelm you with talent. But they're a well-coached team. That's a tough building to play in. I don't think that building in Boston is going to be full of, you know, half full of Warriors fans like it's been in Brooklyn and like it's been in a lot of different places. I think that the Celtics fans will be ready for that one. It'll be an incredible atmosphere. And they just have an ability. They got up 20-plus on the Warriors last year there. You know, and again, I think the Warriors are surely more talented. And Boston, like I said, doesn't blow you away. But I do think that they compete. And play with an edge to them. So I actually think that's a sneaky game toward the end of the trip that could be problematic. And then you look at Milwaukee. I mean, I don't think Milwaukee would have enough to beat them, even if the Warriors were having an off night.
John Dickinson, hear him throughout the shows Monday through Friday on the weekends. The NBA show 10 to noon on Saturday with Matt Stymetz. And look, he's everywhere. He's our very super reporter, and you can follow him on Twitter at JD John Dickinson. He'll give you all the latest info there. JD, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Appreciate it.
All right, you guys. Do the same. Take care.
Right on. John Dickinson. There you go. All right. Coming up next, your phone calls. Oh, no. Oh, no, Guru.
What?
Oh, no. Ricky Bobby. Ricky Bobby, I think, is responsible for like at least 6 or 7 Twitter accounts. And
how do you know that?
He hates Derek Carr. I think he has a lemon, fire car, fire Reggie McKenzie. He's normally in Arkansas. Now I'm seeing Hot Springs. We'll get to him first. Everybody else on hold, we will get to you. The whole next segment is for you. And I promise we're going to get to the Niners. We're going to get to the Dubs. We're going to get to all that good stuff. Maybe some jambalaya. Definitely the word. We'll do all of that next. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, coming back at you, 95.7 The Game.
Miss a big interview on 95.7 The Game? Every interview is archived online. Listen wherever you are at 957thegame.com. The Game.
Welcome back, Bay Area 95.7 The Game. I am Zachariah. He is Daryl the Guru Johnson. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Alex Pavlovich, Giants insider for CSN Bay Area. He'll talk to us about the Shark signing. The Greinke going to the Diamondbacks
still bothers me.
Is that good or bad for the Giants? I don't really know. We'll ask him. He knows better than us. He's an insider. For God's sakes.
We're inside?
Sort of. Right now we're taking your calls. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. Let's go to Ricky Bobby. If you're not first, you're last, Guru. I'm pretty sure he's responsible.
I'm ready to hear him.
For anywhere in between 7 and 15 different Twitter accounts where he rips into me saying that Derek Carr is a lemon. He's garbanzo beans. Oh. Reggie McKenzie needs to be fired. He constantly wants to make changes, and I'm assuming today will be no different. How are you, Ricky Bobby?
I'm pitiful right now. I'm sad. I'm miffed. I'm furious.
Ricky Bobby, go ahead.
We watched this lemon of a quarterback just hold his team back from going to the playoffs. We saw it right there before your very eyes.
Keep going. I'm not going to stop you. Go ahead, Ricky Bobby. Air it out. Today is a good day. Derek Carr had a terrible day, but it's one in very few terrible days for Derek Carr. But go ahead.
We've had, okay, 8-20 record as a starter, but everybody wants to defend him, talking about, oh, he's young. Well, Jameis Winston is young, too. Matter of fact, he's 3 years younger, and he has a better record than what Carr has and doesn't have nearly the talent. So I don't want to hear that excuse about, oh, he's young, it's his second year and all that. I don't want to hear that. What I want to hear is we had a guy that had a 20-14 lead in the ball in the fourth quarter. And next thing you know, we lose 34-20. explain that to me.
Ricky Bobby, I can't, because let me just tell you this. It's easy to have a pocket presence when there's no pressure. But what I'm noticing from Carr is when the pocket starts to collapse, he gets happy feet and then makes the air. And I'm like, just get rid of the ball. And Zach is like, well, just like you said, he's still young. But you learn that in college. When all else fails, throw it away to live another down.
Exactly. You don't just throw the ball up for grabs. Sometimes a sack is good.
Wow.
A sack is not a bad thing. And instead of throwing the ball to that big greasy lineman, you should have just took a sack, keep the ball, get a field goal. Instead of being down, we're up 29-20.
Ricky, how come you didn't call after the, the big-time performance against the Steelers, the big-time performance against the Jets, the big-time performance against the Chargers? I mean, where were you then? The big-time performance against the Ravens? I mean, where were you in all those games, Ricky Bobby? Thank you for the phone call. You and Guru should go do a show in Arkansas together.
No, that's not right.
Guru and Ricky Bobby.
I praised Carr last week
when
he drove him down to win the game.
All right. Okay.
But do you get where I'm coming from?
He had a terrible game today.
No, but when the pocket starts to collapse is when he starts looking like a teenager.
That's when any quarterback looks like a teenager.
No.
Everyone, even Brady, even Montana. If the pocket breaks down, that's what you do as a quarterback. You start to look shaky.
And when are we going to talk about Janikowski?
Anytime you want.
He's getting a major pass, Zach.
He's been bad since he broke the record for most games started by a Oakland Raiders player against the Broncos, and he missed two field goals in that game when he led the team out of the huddle, and he hasn't been right since.
Right.
Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, taking your phone calls, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. Let's go to Mel in Oakland. What's up, Mel?
Hey, you guys. Thanks for putting Ricky Bobby on before me, because now I'm going to sound smarter than I really am.
Go ahead, man.
I know Derek Carr is going to get the blame for this loss, but this is not on him. The blame should go on the coaches. If you look at how Musgrave caught this game, it was 2 to 3 yard run up the middle, then a screen pass that's either dropped by Latavius Murray or goes for negative yards. And now you have that young quarterback we're talking about in third and long with his backup center.
Oh, preach.
No quarterback's going to do good in that situation, Guru.
Hey, that's a great point. Just set up to fail. What are your thoughts, Zach? Because that is a big part of why we're disgruntled.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, there's something there, no doubt. I mean, I would much rather have seen the play calling really for the entirety of the year be a lot better. And look, this goes back to originally, and especially on defense, I have a hard time questioning anything that I see based on the fact that I don't think the personnel is there. On offense, I think it is, though. Hold up. On offense, I think it is. I think the offensive line is there. I think the tight ends are there. I think the wide receivers are there. I think the running back is there. I think the fullback is there. I think the quarterback is there. So on offense, I have a lot easier time questioning the play calling than I do on the defense. Let's go to Zach in Fairfield. Go ahead, Zach.
Man, I've been waiting for a heck of a long
time. Sorry, man. Sorry. We were coming off Raiders postgame. Go ahead.
I wouldn't say that this was, like, you know, Carr's most horrible game. I think it was probably just mainly that quarter into the fourth quarter. But we had the lead. I think it would actually be more on the coaches. We should have ran the clock out a little more while we had the ball, settled for a field goal, you know, maintain almost a two-score lead. They ended up missing their extra point on their try. I don't know about hating so much on Derek Carr. This is his second year. It's not about being young. Our defense did great today. They weren't on the field way too much, but the 20 points for fourth quarter was not necessary. I think Carr just fell under pressure, and that's when he had a bad quarter and a bad time. It was not a bad game for him, though.
No, that's a great point, Zach, and that's, you know, that's part of what's killed me about this year is that I went into this, and thank you for the phone call, I went into this season, Guru, terrified of the defense and very confident in the offense, and there's been too many times where I've walked away from the game and it's been the offense that was the culprit on why they didn't win the game.
So are you giving credit to Ken Norton Jr.? Oh, no, stop. Are you giving credit to Ken Norton Jr.? Because today's game, I'm looking like, why aren't the Raiders up more? When did the Chiefs get this vaunted defense? But again, a lot of
the Chiefs have a good defense.
It's okay, but the Raiders were gashing them in the passing game all game, and that's why this loss is a travesty. And then you got your boy Murray running for 85 yards.
Yeah, no, I mean, he had a good game. Let's go to Derek in New Jersey. Go ahead, Derek.
Thanks for taking the call. They won't win another game. Here's my question. Is Carr a poor man's Jay Cutler? Because I'm thinking he is. You know, Cutler will wow you and dazzle you with the gunslinger throws, but he makes the bonehead plays. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and I sent this out to you, Guru, I think Seth Roberts is a better receiver right now, today, this year, than Cooper. But Cooper's getting all the attention because he was the number one pick. Seth Roberts is the steadiest guy we have. He's not flashy, but he makes every play. And can we give up more bubble screen touchdowns?
No. Or the tight end succeeding. Oh. Look, Derek, I think you're crazy on calling Carr, a poor man's Cutler. Yeah. It's a little early to do that. I think Seth Roberts is great. I would not call him better.
But he's not Amari
yet. But real quickly, just to wrap up, let's go to Clay from the Bay. Go ahead, Clay.
Hey, what's up? I'm a guru on this, man. Carr, it's like we're playing with the house's money because, you know, we're doing better, all this kind of stuff. Carr's laughing after that miss to Crabtree. That should have been a touchdown. I mean, that's like right after that play, that's when we make the turnover. It's like, what's he got to laugh about?
Well, look, man.
Zach, I'm listening.
He's playing a game. You want him to be all serious and down on himself and cry on the field after he misses him for what could have been a game-winning play?
Tom Brady wouldn't have been laughing.
I'm not mad at him for that. Thank you for the phone call, Clay from the Bay. So, what'd you want him to do?
John Elway wouldn't have been laughing.
What did you want him to do?
No, it's not about what I wanted.
Laughing.
We don't need to see your pearly whites after the play is a negative play. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Coming up next, your phone calls 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. If you're on hold, I see you. I promise I will get to you. We'll switch it up real quick. We'll talk to Alex Pavlovich, Giants insider for CSN Bay Area. Talk to him about the signing that they did not get and the signing that they did and what's next for the orange and black. All coming up next. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, 95.7 the game.
One, two, three, four.
Football Friday. NFL Monday.
Like a strange dog today, boys.
The look ahead.
One, two, three.
The analysis.
That's smart football.
The matchups.
He missed it.
Oh, no.
From NFL Monday through Football Friday.
Come on today. Stop with it, man.
The NFL conversation never ends.
Stay tuned to who you are.
On 95.7 The Game. Feedback on anything you hear on 95.7 The Game. Like us on Facebook and speak your mind at 957 The Game. Text us at 95795.
Welcome back, Bay Area, 95.7 The Game. I am Zachariah. He is Daryl the Guru Johnson. Coming up at 745. More of your phone calls. I see you on hold. I promise you, I will get to you. Anybody else that wants to join? Talk Niners, talk Raiders, talk A's, talk Giants, talk whatever.
A's got some rumors floating around. Timex Social Club, look at all them rumors.
You going to break some news?
After, I don't want to keep Alex waiting, but we'll ask him about it.
All right. Yeah. That's a good tease. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. Right now, it is a pleasure to be joined by Alex Pavlovich, Giants insider for CSN Bay Area. You can follow him on Twitter at Alex Pavlovich. Thank you for joining us, Alex. Taking some time out of your Sunday. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
No complaints over here. I want to start with this because I got kind of hammered on Twitter, and I don't normally get a lot of backlash for anything that I say on there, but I said that I think that the Diamondbacks are going to be really, really, really good now, and I would almost make them the NL West favorites in that division. Is that just crazy and kind of overreacting and kind of like what people were saying about the Padres last year? I just felt like they were pesky to both the Dodgers and the Giants, and now adding a guy like Greinke, that could put them at the favorites to win that division.
Well, I'll tell you, Friday afternoon when that came down, I tweeted kind of the same thing. I thought they were going to be really good, and I thought people who were saying, you know, he made a bad baseball decision, I called them silly, and I got hammered on Twitter too, but I think he did make a good baseball decision. It was ultimately, it comes down to money for these guys, but that's going to be a really good team. That's a team that I know a lot of people in the National League, a lot of people who watch them and you know, beat writers and scouts and executives, people who have seen the Diamondbacks, were keeping an eye on them and were viewing them as a team that could be up and coming next year, as it was. And now you had a guy who for most of the season was by far the best pitcher in the National League. I think for sure that's a team that, depending on how the rest of the offseason shakes out, they're going to be right there with the Dodgers and the Giants.
Alex, the Giants have a rich history of superstar outfielders, Willie Mays, Barry Bonds. But here recently, even when they won the title, they got it done with, you know, average type outfielders. But I'm looking at the outfield now, and I'm like, I wish they would spice it up, you know, get a big bat. And we're hearing names like Cespedes and Jason Hayward, maybe.
Where are you going?
Do you think this is high on the Giants' offseason priority list to upgrade the outfield?
They want to upgrade in left field, but I have not heard those names in the reporting I've done and the people I've talked to. I have not heard kind of the top of the market guys. I think it's not as much of a priority to go out there. And you have to remember, a lot of times these are situations where agents for those guys are throwing the Giants out there because the Giants had the second highest payroll in the National League last year. So you want your guy associated with them and you want the Giants in on that chase because it's going to raise the price. We saw that with Greinke. I think they certainly helped push that one along. So I think that's a little bit of what's going on. I ultimately don't think we're looking at $150 million or $200 million guy if you're talking about Hayward in left field. You know, people do want the outfielders, but you have to remember they also have the infield now with Brandon Crawford, Matt Duffy, Joe Panik, Brandon Bell, Buster Posey. So they do have those guys who are stars already and guys who have the potential to be stars. They're just not in the outfield.
Alex Pavlovich, Giants insider for CSN Bay Area, kind enough to join us. Daryl the Guru Johnson and Zachariah here on 95.7 The Game. Alex, I love working here. I assume you love working here. I'm a little confused as to why free agents do not love working here. You can't talk about a Warriors big-time free agent that's come in, a Giants big-time free agent that's come in, A's up and down the line, Raiders, everybody. Alex, why? If this is the fourth largest market in the United States, it's a place where there's great food, great weather, great everything. Why is it so tough for the teams here to bring in big-time free agents? Is it? Do not tell me it's taxes, Alex, is what I'm saying. Don't tell me it's taxes.
I was not going to tell you it's taxes. I generally, you know, that stuff makes a difference, but I don't buy into that as the big thing. I can't speak for the other teams. I know the A's in general don't spend as much money on guys. I think the Warriors until the last 2 years were certainly not a desirable place to come. So that probably plays into it. As for the Giants, I think it's actually been kind of circumstantial. And you look at individual guys. John Lester, it was a situation where he knew the left and he knew the guys in Chicago wanted to go over there. And certainly that's an appealing situation too. And you can't necessarily blame him. And when you're talking about Zach Greinke, I mean, he got offered $206 million in the Giants. We're not going to do that. So that's where the difference is.
Do you know what they offered?
It was not that. I think they were going to max out at 5 years. So they're going to come well short of that. And the average annual value is going to be short of what the Diamondbacks gave him too. So ultimately, even before taxes, and then taxes play into that too, he was going to get a lot more money in Arizona. So I do think you have to look at these things individually, but it does add up over time. And I understand how fans get frustrated, but I don't think there's any sense out there that people don't want to come here. I think it's the opposite, actually. You look at Jeff Samardzija, and that's the guy who, for a couple of weeks, I've heard really wanted to be in San Francisco, and we saw the way that happened.
Alex, I'm a big Angel Pagan fan, and I'm just wondering, is it will we ever see him back to what he used to be on his good day, roaming center field, making great catches and having good at-bats, or would I be crazy to expect that now at this point in his career?
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. I think, first of all, we're talking about health, and that's the most important thing for him. Is dealt with a bunch of issues, the back and the knees and everything that's kind of kept him from being the guy he wants to be. You know, if you're looking for a big year from him, I think you look at the fact that he's going to be in a contract year. And the last time he was in a contract year, had a huge year, and that caused the Giants to go out and give him a deal that maybe at times he hasn't lived up to. But I do think for him, this is a big season. I expect him to come in, and he's never been in bad shape. That's a guy who always comes in shape. But I expect him to come in ready, and he understands. I mean, these guys, we talked about those big contracts, the Haywards and the Cespedes and all that. I mean, all these guys go out there, and they see the money that's out there. So when you're in a contract there, you're kind of going to have a little bit extra motivation to go out there and take that next step and be a little bit better. So I do think next year, if he's in San Francisco, I think we'll see a good Angel.
I did graduate from Cal, but I have never claimed to be a math major. But when I look at the salaries for the A's, Alex, and this is kind of near and dear to my heart doing the pre- and post-game a couple days a week for the green and gold, I look at Coco Crisp, over $10 million a year. Country Breakfast, right around $10 million a year. And now they trade for Jed Lowry, who's also making over $10 million a year. Now, their payroll is never very frequently over $60 million. So if you're paying half to three guys that if you're a realistic A's fan, you can't expect a lot out of, what good words could you give to any A's fans out there, Alex?
You know, I actually like what they've done in this offseason. I can't speak so much for what they did in the past and for kind of the roster they put together. But I do like the guys they brought in and the fact that they're going out there and pushing hard to fix this bullpen. I think we've seen recently, not just with the Giants, but with the Royals and some other teams, that can make a huge difference if you can shorten the game. And they're going to do that. We saw the Ryan Matson signing and then some of the other guys they brought in. The trade they made with Toronto, that was to bring in a quality reliever. So I think they're trying to shorten the game a little bit, and that'll be a huge help. I do like what they've done. They probably need to go out and do a couple more things, but I don't think they're as far away as maybe some people think they are.
Fair enough. God bless you, Alex. I appreciate that. Alex Pavlovich, follow him on Twitter, at Alex Pavlovich, P-A-V-L-O-V-I-C, Giants Insider for CSN Bay Area. Love your work over there.
Thanks, man.
What do they call it? The hot winter stove or whatever it is. It's heating
the hot
up.
Stove.
Yeah, the hot stove, Alex. Hey, you know the story behind that? I learned it from Damon Bruce. Guys used to actually sit around a stove and listen to the radio about rumors in the baseball offseason.
Yeah, now we just refresh Twitter every 15 seconds.
There it is.
That'll keep you hot. Thank you very much, Alex. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
There you go. Alex Pavlovich.
He's on board with the green and gold.
God bless him.
And now there's
a
rumor.
We need to cut that up and
they're
play
interested
that for
in Kazmir.
Oh, is that the breaking news?
Yeah, that's the breaking news.
We should have played the sounder.
Is that just, I don't think it's a sounder.
Where'd you
that's
hear that?
Bleacher Report.
Okay.
My sources.
We're going to bring back Kazmir?
It's just out of control.
Would he come back?
Get Dave Henderson, too. Maybe Carlin Lansford.
Okay. Now
see what
just,
Ricky's
now
doing.
Now you're just being mean.
Where's Walt Weiss?
All right. Coming up next, your phone calls, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570.
Tony Armas.
Text line 95795. Lee, Michael, Jack, Mike, Rob, all of you. Next, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, coming back at you, 95.7 The Game.
Mornings with Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
Chad here. A big weekend in the NFL for both the Niners and the Raiders. What do we got coming up on Monday, Joe?
Dysfunction of the highest level. We'll check in with Matt Maiocco of CSN Bay Area at 7:30 to see how the Niners fared in Chicago and what's next for this team in turmoil.
And at 9 o'clock, we'll visit with Lincoln Kennedy, and he'll tell you how the Raiders fared against the Kansas City Chiefs.
NFL Monday. Chad, Joe, and Lowe. Mornings 6 to 10 a.m. on 95.7 The Game.
Visit 957thegame.com to enter to win a $500 grocery card courtesy of Cache Creek Casino Resort. Cache Creek Casino Resort is Northern California's premier gaming destination. Play the best close to home. Cache Creek Casino Resort. Enter to win a $500 grocery card. Just click on contests at 957thegame.com.
95.7 The Game. On demand. Listen to any show whenever you want. Just tap on demand in our smartphone app. Available free right now for iPhone and Android.
Anything you hear and catch up with the stuff you missed. Connect with 95.7 The Game. Like us on Facebook at 957 The Game.
Fact. I don't know. Ask him. He plays the playback music. Welcome back, Bay Area 95.7 The Game. Daryl the Giggin. Are you doing the dab?
No, we need to retire the dab. Jimmy Johnson on Fox did it today.
We'll get to
it's
that in the word.
Officially over.
By the way, he made some noises that I'm pretty sure are racist. I mean, I'm white, so I don't know that I could point that out. I think if you saw it, you would be offended.
Big Herbs texted me. He liked the Tony Armas reference, and you weren't even born when Tony Armas was roaming right.
Why you got to bust me out?
No, not a bust out. You weren't
I
born.
I watch footage from the 70s.
Oh, okay, I got you.
I'm lying. totally lying right now.
So Dwayne Murphy doesn't ring a bell either, huh?
Murphy for the Braves?
No, for the Oakland A's.
Who was the Murphy for the Braves?
Wow.
Dale Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that rings a bell. What was the one you said?
Dwayne Murphy used
about
to wear his hat like
man.
This. He had a mean fro.
Like the way you're wearing the
glove.
UNAP?
Yeah, he had a glove, too.
People are loving our black and white picture on Twitter, by the way.
Oh, okay. Good.
They're liking it. You got nothing for me there?
Yeah.
Just going to leave that?
Not going to bait me.
You're unbelievable, man. You are. You're so unreliable. When I need you to respond, you don't. When I don't want you to respond, you do.
That's the beauty of working. I feel the same.
Yeah. Is that the beauty?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back. Have I said our names yet? Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zach and Ryan, 95.7 the game. We still have to get into the Warriors. They're now 22-0. I don't know what they need to do to lose, but I'm worried about two games, Guru. I'm looking at Indiana on Tuesday, and I'm looking at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I saw the Pelicans take care of them. Let me tell you something, and I mean this with every fiber in my body.
You just went like a
substitute
teacher right there.
The Warriors are mined. I can't say the next word. All the teams, because there's
effing?
Not a yeah.
Okay.
There's not enough offense to
we
keep
can say
up
effing,
with them.
Right?
When they see the jersey now, the blue or white home jersey, I believe the other team just succumbs to. They know we have no chance to win.
I'm with you on that.
And that goes back to that Chicago Michael Jordan era,
yeah.
That aura,
yeah.
To where when you saw the black and red, you knew it was a wrap. And that's how it's coming through my TV, Zach. I can't explain it. Like, teams know they're mentally defeated before they jump ball.
Fair enough.
I thought you would go crazy or throw something at me. You're almost like.
No, look.
You see where I'm going a little bit.
If this streak ends, it will be on the road. It's not going to be at home.
Well, it almost happened at home twice, Toronto
Doesn't
and
matter.
Brooklyn.
if was a fifth, we'd
and there's
all be
only
drunk.
11 left to break it.
Yeah.
Each game is its own entity.
I'm just looking at that Indiana game on
no,
the road.
No, Zach, stop. Even though your boy
Paul
is
George
back,
is
he's
Scottie
Pippen. He's Scottie Pippen.
That's the next game on Tuesday. Tomorrow they're
that
off.
That is scary. You
Tuesday
got scared.
They play them at 4.
They got some long dudes on their team.
888-957-9570. Let's go back to the phone lines. Lee in Santa Clara, he wants to stick with the silver and black. Go ahead, Lee.
Guru, I usually side with you when you have these passionate differences of opinion with Zachariah, but I got to talk some sense into you here.
I'm all
so
ears.
Before today, Carr had 24 TDs and only 6 interceptions. He had the highest QB rating of any QB against the blitz. So I think you gotta kind of look at this with a little bit of a long-term perspective and not go so much week to week. The guy's got 101.5 QB rating coming into today's game. He's had a spectacular season. The Raiders haven't had a young QB in basically 50 years, right? Since Stabler
You're
got
right.
drafted, I think, in 1968. And this Raiders team still does not have much talent. They've got a few good playmakers on offense, and the defense is atrocious. Like, Carr is the least of this team's worries.
And you're right. And I don't want to come across like Carr is not the future or Carr is not good. But, Lee, you got to give it to me. When crunch time is hit here in the last 4 quarter of games all season long, the one constant has been Derek Carr will make, I don't want to call it a bonehead move, but when he messes up, it's the Tony Romo mess up. It's like at the end of the game to where you can't rectify. And I'm just calling a spade a spade. I'm not saying he's going to not outgrow it, but today was, you gotta fault him today because he was bad. He was bad in his decision making, Lee. And when the pocket's collapsing, that's where I'm getting concerned now because he won't just throw the ball away. He'll try to force it, and that's what we saw today.
Well, what we also saw today was 7 dropped passes,
now,
which
a
to
big,
me,
there, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, to me, that was as important where they happened and when they happened. Yeah, Carr had a bad fourth quarter, but you take away the drop passes, it's a totally different ball game. So keep your chin up. This team is going in the right direction. They got to fix the defense. Things are going to look much better next year.
Thank you for the phone call, Lee. Appreciate it. Let's get to Michael in San Jose. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. So 2 things. The second one's about the announcing. First one is to I'm gonna say I like Derek Carr. I've defended him when people were talking about putting McGloin in. I was like, what are you guys talking about? We need to build on this guy. He's got talent. But I do want to agree with his attitude is weird to me. He doesn't have the attitude of the type of quarterback that I would want. And what I mean is he's always talking nonchalant. The way he responds in those situations is always nonchalant. He doesn't have that seriousness that Tom Brady has. And smiling off a pass like that may not seem like a big deal. And his post-conference, you know, saying, oh, my job's easy, I got to get to the receiver. No, man, you got to. Or just it's just a game, and he loves his family. I get it. I love that he's a great dude like that. But I am worried long term, how much does he really care about football? And not to say that he doesn't care, but
as opposed to what? As opposed to what, Michael?
As opposed to these crazy guys like Tom Brady, who everybody knows he could care about anything. There's nothing.
What do you think Derek Carr cares more about than football?
I think he's a family man. I think he's a Christian. I think he's a good guy.
God bless. I'd take that over a guy that's going to the strip club.
I agree. But Tom Brady, you know, Tom Brady's not going to the strip club, but he's got that kind of that swag, that attitude to where he's
Michael, thank you for the phone call. I am not worried about Derek Carr's commitment to football.
What about his brother? You think he's got some of that genetics to where he can mess up in the most inopportune
time? Are you trying to make me angry?
No. I'm just thinking it can run in the blood.
No, I don't think it runs blood.
No, I was just something to think about.
You want to know when Derek was asked about the biggest change for him from this year to last year? You want to know what it was?
What?
I'm now going to the facility on my days off when I did before.
He's a scholar. I know he studies again.
The last thing I'm worried about is his dedication to football. Let's go to Jack in San Mateo. Go ahead, Jack. This is Jack Del Rio.
Hey, guys. You know, as far as that caller, a couple callers ago, he hit it on the head. Derek Carr, somebody was talking about happy feet earlier. Yeah, today a little bit, but against the blitz, he had the highest passer rating in the league. I mean, you know what? This kid has a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio. You know, whoever wants to put him in the same breath with Cutler, are you kidding me? This guy is going to be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback year in and year out. He had 7 drops on him. You know, I don't understand where people are coming from. He had one bad game. You know, he had the one game against Tennessee. He had the game against Baltimore where he came back and beat them at the end. This kid's got what it takes, man. It's just, you know, it was one bad game, and he'll learn from that one bad mistake. Next time he will take the sack. And, you know, I think that is the least of our problems. I think we build on the defense, and we're going to be competitive in years to come.
My favorite call. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, taking your phone calls, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795-GURU. I do appreciate you for having such a high standard for this ball club. I really do. I mean, honestly, that's what I would want anybody that was running a franchise that I owned. I appreciate it, but you still need to be realistic. We're talking about a team that has not had a winning season since 2002. Lincoln Kennedy, who now does the sideline for Papa and Flores.
Does a good
on
job.
95. Yeah, he does a great job. He was on the team the last time they had a winning record. Allow a grading curve. Have the high standards, great. But don't flip out when they don't meet them, is what I'm saying.
So you're just no big deal of the 5 or now 6 games that this team could have won.
Big deal for sure.
Okay.
Fix it. Work on it. But don't get so mad to where it's been years of them building off of it. This is the first year that they can build. Dennis Allen was their coach last year. They went 0-10 last year, Guru. Sure.
Do you think Carr's too young for Musgrave to give him the keys and just go no huddle like Big Ben does?
No.
Or Peyton Manning on a good day?
I will
because
turn.
I believe Carr can handle it.
All right.
But the Raider offense is not at its best because we got to sprinkle in these run plays that we know are going nowhere. And it's just not a good look, Zach. They were down 6. A touchdown wins the game. And they start off with this pathetic run and then a wide receiver screen for no yards. And now it's 3rd and long. I don't get it. Musgrave, help your young quarterback. I don't get it, Zach.
Mike in Berkeley. Go ahead, Mike.
The way I feel about this game is kind of how I felt about the Broncos game. I honestly feel like everybody in that locker room should be going to Charles Woodson, shaking his hand and just telling him I'm sorry, because this guy is his, 19th year in the league, is playing at an elite level, and we lose the game.
Great point.
I mean, this man could have went to the Broncos the year they went to the Super Bowl. They choose to come over here and play with Matt Flynn instead of Peyton Manning. I honestly feel bad for Charles Woodson. He couldn't even enjoy a day where he had two fumble recoveries. And the whole Derek Carr thing, if he doesn't get a PI penalty call at the Ravens game, he throws a game-ending pick. The game-ending pick last year against the Chargers, he's struggling with that. He has a Stafford Favre mentality where he kind of just flings the ball at the end, and he needs to clean that up fast because it's going to get old.
Thank you for the phone call, Mike. Where'd he go? You just hang up? You walk it off?
Yeah, he dropped him off. Yeah, walk off.
You felt him, huh?
Yep. I'm disappointed for Raider Nation. And what he said about Woodson was that was awesome. I mean, it's real, Zach. The dude's playing his ass off at 40. And, you know, to be this close on so many games, but he said as much today. All the woulda, coulda, shouldas, this one hurt the most.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. We'll take your calls. Still got to touch on the Niners. Still got to touch on the Dubs. Still got to get to Jambalaya. Still got to get to the words. Still got to get to Monty Poole. Did our boy Cole really get Monty Poole? Did that actually happen?
Yeah, Cole was the man.
We had a weekend producer actually do work. We'll find out next. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, coming back at you. 95.7 The Game.
Inside story on your new look Oakland Raiders with head coach Jack Del Rio. Every Monday afternoon at 3:30 on the Damon Bruce Show. Right here on 95.7 The Game. Driven by San Leandro Ford. More better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.